Welcome back to another Daily Walk. Well, today I want to talk a little bit about politics and Christians. Yes. And we're going to be discussing this through the lens of the book by Erwin Lutzer called Christians, Politics, and the Cross. Now, he wrote this 4 years ago during the last election cycle, which was certainly an important election cycle. And, many of us believe that the election was stolen. Many of us believe it was won fair and square. Whatever you sit at right now, this year's election is even more important. And what is most concerning is there was a recent poll suggesting 34 million Christians might sit this election out altogether because they're like, well, I can't vote for this person and I can't vote for this person. And I got to say, that is the wrong approach. I will respect a person who will vote the way that I think a Christian shouldn't vote more than a person who says, I'm just not going to get involved because we have a duty as American citizens in America to elect our nation's leaders. And I firmly believe that God will put in position the one he's supposed to, but it is also up to the Christians to do their good duty. And what is important about this particular election season is we literally seem to have a group of demon people versus people who are just normal, okay? There's not a whole lot of serious godly push in this election season. There's not. And I think that's why a lot of people want to sit out. You look at one candidate and go, well, you know, this guy doesn't really stand for what I would believe in. This candidate definitely doesn't. And so the default kind of says, I'm just not going to vote at all because I don't think I can vote for either one. And I think that is a poor position because as Erwin Lutzer talks about in this book, we as believers are placed in our country at the time we're placed for that specific purpose. And we have the imperative to engage in civil life. We are dual citizens. We are citizens here on earth and we are citizens in heaven. And I got news for you. If you want to vote for the left in this particular election, you are voting for the demonic side. But if you're not going to participate in the election at all, it is still a vote for the demonic side. Why do I say that? Is that because I'm just Republican? No, I'm not. I'm not a Republican. I think most of the Republican Party is a bunch of trash and probably needs to go. I think we need to set very solid term limits on every single office. I do not believe that anybody should be enriched in any way, shape, or form in office. There are serious things that we need to fight for. But a couple years ago, probably like, I think it was actually the 16 election, was really the first time I sat down and I researched and evaluated every single candidate on the ballot. And what I found, hands down, every person who is a Democratic candidate, every one of their beliefs is diametrically opposed to what the scriptures teach. And so we have this imperative to get out and to further what we believe would be God's kingdom in the order. Now, we cannot, let's suppose that we completely win and we make every law in this nation exactly what the scripture says. We will not have won a single soul. People are not saved by politics. People are not saved by the laws. People are not saved by the mandates of society. But what we are doing in that circumstance is we are creating a society of order by which the order is maintained, and that order is what God would command us to be. You see, God gives us the state in order to do his will. But if you look at the response to the hurricane in Florida compared to the average state of New York City, New York City is a chaotic land of absolute crime, and it is getting worse and worse and worse. Well, the hurricane just comes through, and Ron DeSantis basically says, hey, don't be looting, because we will find you and prosecute you to the fullest extent of the law, and that's if the person on the other side of that door doesn't shoot you first. And I got news for you. Florida's not going to be out there trying to prosecute people who are defending their own property against looters. That is what order looks like versus New York City is what chaos looks like. Well, you can't walk down the streets. Right now it's getting so bad that people... It's becoming harder to shoplift from the stores now, and so now the criminals are simply busting into people's houses after scoping out who has the best cars and the best valuables. It's very interesting to see that. But I do want to highlight one thing that he writes at the end of, at the beginning of chapter 6, the last chapter in the book. And he writes, what will happen if the radical political left gains even more power in Washington? A Christian activist asked me. The answer, of course, is perhaps the kingdom of God will do very well. Thank you. That is very true. Okay, and let me illustrate it this way. The radical left did apparently, they took power. Whether you believe they legitimately won or not is a different question for a different day. But they did gain more power. They ended up pushing back and causing so much havoc in many places. We're starting to see many people come to Christ. We had just in the last, just a couple of things that we saw just in the last few months. Of course, I talked about Tucker Carlson, who professed to be a Christian for a long time. He said, I'm reading the Bible now for the first time ever, and I'm learning a lot. You had Tim Allen also saying, I'm reading the Bible now for the first time. I don't know if he was as much Christian in his past, but I know for sure he's been a conservative and a Republican voice. But then we have Russell Brand, who was just an absolute leftist atheist, profess faith in Christ, and now he's out there in rivers baptizing people, leading the Lord's Prayer with Jordan Peterson. And I don't know if Jordan Peterson has made a profession of faith in Christ, although a friend of mine who follows his work closely, I don't follow his work at all. I know who he is and roughly what he stands for. But a friend of mine says it's listening to him is listening like listening to a guy who's right on the cusp of accepting Christianity, but just hasn't accepted him yet. And so I don't know if in the last few weeks since he's led the Lord's Prayer with Russell Brand, if he's actually professed faith in Christ or not. That's interesting. But even one of the creators, if you remember the Tenet Media situation, you know, you had Tim Pool and you had Lauren Chen and Lauren Southern and Hansen. And then, of course, they had the other and others, which the others was only like Matt Christensen, like Commentator 6, right? Matt Christensen has been evaluating the claims of Christianity for a while, and the Tenet Media situation caused him to say, I am now professing my faith in Jesus Christ. Because he said, in response to the Tenet Media, his email filled up. It was full of a lot of people saying, I'm praying for you, we're with you, stand strong. And then he said, on the other end, it was just a bunch of demon people. You suck. You are horrible. You are terrible. And he said something in his spirit right then and there, simply said, reply to all of these demon people and just say, I'll pray for you. And wouldn't you know it, nearly every one of their emails completely bounced. He looks at this and says, this is a sign. He says, the world right now is people speaking for God and demon people speaking for the Antichrist. And he says, I have professed my faith in Christ. If you haven't seen Matt Christensen's channel, go have a look at it. He's got some of the best, most balanced political commentation. But what's interesting about this book is he really talks about, now if you understand Erwin Lutzer, he knows a lot about Nazi Germany and what led up to that. He is of German ancestry. He's Canadian. He was born and raised in Canada. He became a U.S. citizen many years after that, but his family origin is from Germany. So he's fascinated by what happened with Hitler's takeover and also in the Reformation. And so what's interesting is he gets in and he kind of spends some of his time here talking about how Hitler used the the facade of Christianity as a means to basically demonize all of their oppressors, like all of their opponents. And that's exactly what we're seeing now. Now, they're not using the church in the way that Hitler did, but all of the other playbook from Hitler is exactly what is being used by the Democratic Party right now to simply push that everything you do is hateful. So if you look at the media coverage, despite Kamala Harris cannot string together a sentence, has no earthly idea what she's doing, has no semblance of a plan or a policy, has, I think the number is like 85 or 95% positive media coverage. But Donald Trump, who was a, by all accounts, a successful president, has overwhelmingly 85% negative media coverage. They have literally done everything they can to demonize this one person because they do not want this man who is very successful and breaking their political toys to be back in office to do more damage to their evil cause. And so they have caused the entirety of the world to hate this one man. And when the entirety of the evil world is telling you to hate this one man, you should go to the election and vote for him. Because it means he's out there fighting against the cause. And that really is part of the message of the book, is that we have to win some of these political battles for semblance of our culture, but we are not going to cause anybody to come to Christ by such a victory. So while politics should be important for the Christian, ultimately we should not be overly political people. We don't want to be so political that we turn people off from merely having a conversation because they see the Trump sticker on our car. You shouldn't have a Trump sticker on your car. And contrary to belief, this is not a Trump hat. Yes, that was an interesting conversation. I'm not sure if I've mentioned on the channel before. The reality is that the entirety of the world is fighting against this one person, despite he did a really good job. However, as believers, we should be active politically in the terms of voting, maybe in the terms of campaigning, and in some other areas related. But for the most part, our cause is not going to be to elect a Republican or somebody on the right or somebody who would believe even with our views, as much as it is more imperatively important that we preach the gospel with the cause of Christ. And if we're so political that we got bumper stickers all over the place, then we will turn people off from the conversation even before the conversation starts. And that is why it's critically important that we have to have an awareness of the politics, because they are causing such havoc on our world. We have got to put a stop to them where we can legally, ergo politically. But ultimately, the cause of the Christian is to save people unto Christ. Now, there are, for whatever reason to me, I don't understand it. There are people in the Christian church who want to vote Democratic. I do not understand it in the current poll. Now, maybe you voted Democratic your whole life before the Democratic policy brought in the evils of the world. You should reevaluate what your party believes and what you believe in your faith. There was a time the Democratic Party was very good and very moral and simply cared for the care of mankind. And that's really what caused a lot of the political debates years ago. But starting around the time of Obama, it started to get it so bad that they started pushing every form of evil thing started to become the main cornerstone platforms the Democratic Party wants to vote for. I do not understand it, but I also know a person can be saved and not yet fully understand the scriptures. This is why I focus so much on teaching people to read and understand the scriptures, because once you read and understand the scriptures, you will see how we are to live, and then you will in turn move in that right direction. And this is why people who are really truly caring about people are turning to Christ in the midst of the crazy chaos that we've seen. So to Erwin Lutzer's point, yes, if they take over, the kingdom of God is going to do just fine. No political structure is going to be there. In fact, at the end times, Christ is going to come down and annihilate all politics. We can all look forward to that, right? A time that politics doesn't ruin anything, because Jesus Christ is sitting on the throne. Okay. But reading through this book, I'm going to leave a link to it down below. I realize we haven't talked a whole lot about it. It just kind of formed a lot of the thoughts I wanted to talk about here. But I will highly encourage you to read this book, because it really goes into a lot of things. Let me just read you the chapter titles to give you a brief summary. Number one, the Clash of the Cross and the Culture really discusses all of the radical things going on in society and how a lot of the political left specifically stands diametrically opposed to the things that Christianity would teach on the right. And now, the right now is not teaching things on Christ either. To be very clear, the right is not teaching anything Christian. In fact, they have strayed as far. The cross is over here somewhere. The left is over here. The right went that way. Okay? They're not leading to Christ. All right? But to be clear, it's better to go that way than opposite from the cross, to be perfectly clear. Number two, the cross, the flag, and the unraveling thereof, which talks about what is more important, talk about the cross or being involved in the patriotism of our nation. Footnote, the cross is more important. We always should preach the gospel before we care about preaching the politics, although the politics can be important. If we do not get involved in the politics, we will get to the point where our children that we want to bring into the world and follow the commands of Christ, bringing them up in the ways of Jesus Christ, will be taken away from us because we are seen as the enemy. We don't want that to be the case. Now, chapter 3 is politics and the cross in God's heart. This is how does the Christian interface with the Christian faith and politics together. Chapter 4, the cross of reconciliation, really talks about the cross, not politics, is the solution to our world. Chapter 5 is carrying the cross into the hostile political world, which in my opinion is probably one of the best chapters in the book here, because what he's talking about here is taking your cross. See, we in America, we don't know what it's like to be persecuted for being Christians. We do not, for the most part, understand the dangers of carrying our cross means in the rest of the world. But as we start losing ground, we are starting to see that more as this, you know, under this current administration, the last 4 years, we've seen dozens of people go to jail for praying in front of abortion clinics. We have seen people's doors busted in because they are speaking what is truthful to the world. We are seeing all sorts of interesting responses, but what happens when you are actually persecuted for actually standing up for and following Jesus Christ? That is what the chapter talks about, which we have to recognize that there will come a time in America we are going to lose enough ground. We are losing ground. Even when the right wins an election, we still lose some ground every time. And so what ends up happening is we go a little bit this way and back a little bit, but it looks like a stock chart. It's still going in the wrong way. It's just occasionally it falls back down a little bit. That's the way our society moves. And it will come to the point that it will become illegal to actually live out the faith and practice of being a Christian. And the question is, will we have the strength to carry the cross of Christ during those days? And that is a good, important question. And then chapter 6 is the triumph of the crucified. How it doesn't really matter in the end. Like, ultimately, in the end, God is going to put into power whom he wants. If he wants to put somebody on the right in who is going to give us a breath of fresh air and stop the forward march towards total desecration, then God's going to do that. But if God says it's about time, we need to throw a leftist in here so we can sign under the UN 2030 agenda, so we can hand over all of our resources to the one world government, so that the one world government can envelop us as long as everybody else. And that just furthers the cause in the end times of Christ, in which Christ, you know, times Christ comes back down and says, yep, it's time. So we're not going to be in a circumstance where we lose Christian ground because of politics, but still at the same time, we must be involved in politics to carry out what God would have us to do. So that's kind of where I'm going to leave us today. I will leave a link to this book down in the description. So you should definitely go ahead and read it. And I read it in less than a week. It's a very short book, 140 pages, and it's not exactly hard text to read. I would highly encourage you read that before Election Day. I will leave a link to that down below. So definitely grab a copy of that. I realize it's coming up to that day, but still, we have to be aware of these things, but at the same time, we cannot compromise the gospel of Christ. With that, thank you for watching, and I hope that you enjoy your daily walk in our Lord.
Thank you for tuning in. Our Walk in Christ podcast is a listener-supported presentation. For more information about how you can help, check out ourwalkinchrist.com/support or our Patreon page at patreon.com/TomM. That's TOMM. Digital and paperback books are available on several online bookstores or at our website. Once again, the website is ourwalkinchrist.com.